As you're still on your feet and the piano's playing, thank you, Praise Band, for leading us. We want to give our attention to God's Word this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 57. We're going to stand to honor God's Word this morning. Psalms 57, it'll be in your sermon notes, in your program, or grab your Bible. We'll have it on the screen this morning. Psalms 57, the Bible reads this. It says in verse 1, it says, "Be gracious to me, God. Be gracious to me, for I take refuge in you. I will seek refuge in the shadow of your wings until danger passes. I call to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purposes for me. He reaches down from heaven and saves me, challenging the one who tramples me. God sends His faithful love and truth. I am in the midst of lions. I lie down with those who devour men. Their teeth are spears and arrows. Their tongues are sharp swords. God, be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be above the whole earth. They prepared a net for my steps. I was downcast. I was despondent. They dug a pit ahead of me, but they fell into it. My heart is confident, God. My heart is confident. I will sing. I will sing praises. Wake up, my soul. Wake up, harp and lyre. I will wake up the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your faithful love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." And let's read this part together. "God be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be over the whole earth." Father, we thank you for the word. May you, Lord, be honored and uplifted through it today. We love you so much. We thank you, Jesus, for how good you are. And we pray this in the mighty name of Christ. Reach over and tell somebody, tell two people, one on your left, one on your right, Jesus loves you, and have a seat this morning. Amen. Give God a praise clap today for how awesome He is. Hey, give God praise clap this morning for how awesome He is. There you go. Last week, one of my mentors in the Lord, Ed Pavey, spoke to you guys last week, continuing our theme of praise. He talked to you all about praising the Lord. And here we are talking again about praising the Lord, about get your praise on, learning how to praise the Lord, learning how to celebrate God for who He is and how awesome He is. And what we're learning is that as we approach the season of Thanksgiving, we really need to be thankful to God. We need to learn how to praise the Lord and rejoice in the Lord. I was telling Taryn last night, I don't know what it is, but I'm hearing more about Black Friday than I am about Thanksgiving. I really am. I'm seeing it more on the commercials and everything, more about Black Friday than I am about Thanksgiving. But we as a people of the Lord are thankful. Amen. We are a people that are thankful to God for all that the Lord is doing. And we're learning how to get our praise on. We read in this passage of Scripture from Psalms 57. This is a psalm written by King David. And we're going to talk about this here in a second. But David wrote this psalm. Here's the first blank in your notes. David wrote this psalm while in a cave on the run from King Saul. Now here's what I want you to know as we just kind of talked about this passage of Scripture this morning, is that King David is the author of this psalm. And King David was a great man of God. But before he was a king, he was chased by the current king named Saul. And his journey is recorded in the book of 1 Samuel. He's running everywhere. Saul's pursuing him, chasing him, trying to kill him, all kinds of crazy stuff. And in one of these journeys, David has to take refuge in a cave to stay alive. He has to take refuge in a cave. He has to live in a cave to stay alive. And it's in that cave that he composes this song. And this song would be recorded in the hymn book of Israel, known as the Book of Psalms. And it would be sung, and it would be a rejoicing. It's a beautiful, beautiful psalm, because you read there in verse 8. He says, wake up, my soul. He says, wake up the dawn. I'll praise you among the peoples. I'll praise you to the nations. Your faithful love is high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. God be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be over the whole earth. It's this beautiful song about praising God, how good you are. But I don't want you to forget the circumstances that King David was in. Well, actually, it was David at the time. He wasn't king yet. The circumstances he was in when he said this. He was in a dark cave being pursued by a madman, his life in the balance. And here he is praising God in an incredibly difficult and hard time. See, a cave. Y'all want to talk about caves this morning? Can we? Now, this isn't rocket science, but here you go. A cave can be a dark, lonely, and uncomfortable place. Did you know that? If you ever spent much time in a cave, there's not a whole lot of light in a cave. There's not a whole lot of heat in a cave. And it's kind of uncomfortable. You stay down there long enough, you really won't feel too good. Now, one of my favorite places to go is outside of Bowling Green to a little big place called Cave City. Any Cave City fans in the house today? Some Cave City. You know, not only do you are greeted with beautiful plaster dinosaurs on the side of the road when you go into Cave City and you drive by abandoned amusement park stuff that's kind of creepy, you know, and you get through all of that. You come to this beautiful place called Mammoth Cave National Park. And love Mammoth Cave. If you've never taken your family to Mammoth Cave, if you're not a true Kentuckian, unless you eat moonlight and have been to Mammoth Cave. You know what I'm talking about? So you got to go to Mammoth Cave. And I love Mammoth Cave. You know, you get down there, you buy your ticket, you walk down that hill. They tell you, they go over the spill. The temperature is always the same in the cave, no matter what it is outside. And you walk in the cave and they show you all the cool stuff, how people used to take candles and smoke their names into the ceilings of the cave. And you go down further in the cave and you see rock formations. And who has survived the fat man squeeze? You know, you've been through that and you get real nervous. I get real nervous nowadays when I go through the fat man squeeze. But you go through it. It's kind of hard. I love the caves. I really do. You can ask Taryn. I love going to the caves. I think they're a lot of fun. But here's the deal. As much as I like Mammoth Cave, and I think it's great, I just don't know if I want to live in Mammoth Cave. I don't know if I want to live in Mammoth Cave. There's a story about a famous caver by the name of Floyd Collins. You ever heard of old Floyd before? Floyd goes down in history as a brave caver who lost his life in the Mammoth Cave systems. Floyd is back in the 1920s. Floyd went down into the caves to explore. The caves were gaining tourist attention and money was to be made, so he explored a family cave to try to find a new entryway that was closer to the main traffic so the tourists could come and come to this cave and to be part of it. But the story goes that as Floyd was going into the cave and he was exploring the cave, something terrible went wrong. Something terribly wrong happened. A tragedy happened in the cave. He turned around the wrong way, he kicked over the lantern, and as a result of that, there was a cave in. And the story goes that it was a 16-pound rock, not very much weight, but it lodged in just the right place on the back of Floyd Collins' leg. And the story goes that 16-pound rock that me and you could lift, Floyd could have lift, was at such an angle on his leg that he was trapped. He couldn't get out of there. Story goes that Floyd lay there until they began to spread word that Mr. Collins wasn't coming out of the cave. So they sent people, and he was already 4 days in the cave before they found him. And then they sent some crackers down, as much water as they could, and it just wasn't happening. Story goes that Floyd eventually perished in that cave. He died in that cave in 1925. Floyd Collins, his body would eventually, they first enclosed the cave around him as a burial site because they couldn't even get his body out. He was in such a weird, weird place. Finally, his relatives came and finally excavated the body and moved him to a family cemetery. And there's more about his story that you can Google later on. But for Floyd Collins, Mammoth Cave wasn't that much of a fun experience. Do you think so? You know, when I go to Mammoth Cave, I'm having a good time. When Floyd got in Mammoth Cave, he had a bad time. Not too good for Floyd. And for Floyd, he was not singing the praises of Mammoth Cave. He was lamenting over the hardships of Mammoth Cave. Mammoth Cave took the life of Floyd Collins, and it was a great tragedy. Floyd perished in the dark, dark cave. And really and truthfully, the experience of Floyd Collins is really more like the cave life than the experiences when we buy our tickets to go walk through Mammoth Cave. Floyd crawling in the dark, in the dirt, crying for help, nobody there to help him. That's really the true cave experience. Not a cave with guardrails put in it. Not a cave with a tour guide. See, caves are dark, lonely, uncomfortable places. Now, you can read at the beginning of 57, there's a title there, and it tells us that David wrote this psalm while in a cave on the run. Now, you may not be living in a cave today, but the truth is, you might be living in a spiritual cave today. See, we often find ourselves as human beings living the cave life. We become cave dwellers, so to speak. There are many caves that we find ourselves in that will rob us of life and energy and happiness and all kinds of things. For example, and here we go, you can have the cave of confusion. Anybody ever been in a dark place where you just didn't know what to do? Anybody on that cave today? Where you said, I just don't know what to do. I've tried everything. Went to everybody that I knew, and I'm more confused than what I've ever been, and I just feel like I'm in the dark about this situation. Some of you all are in the cave of confusion. Some are in the cave of confinement. You're confined by your bills. You're confined by your health. You're confined by your circumstances, your situations, your family situations, whatever it is, and you just feel like you can't breathe. Every time you turn around, you bump into another problem in your current situation. It seems like there's no relief. There's no hope. Others today are in a cave of calamity where disaster has struck. An unexpected illness has come upon you. Something you didn't sign up for. You weren't expecting. You came in. It backed you in the cave. And now you're scared to death for your life. Out of a quick curiosity, raise your hand if you've ever been in one of those three caves. I have. I've been in all three of them, haven't you? All three I've already been in, all three. And they're not always fun, and caves are dark, and they're not good. But here is King David, and this makes no sense at all. King David is in a cave on the hunt, or on the run from madman King Saul. And what does he do? He pens a praise song. That makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? Your life is in jeopardy, so what do? You turn around and sing a praise song, right? See, the lost world, people that don't know Jesus, when they see us as Christians go through hardship or go through bad times, and we're still able to praise God, it utterly confuses them. They have no clue why we would do that. Why, if we're going through a hardship, why have we not become a cave creature? If we're a cave dweller. See, a cave creature is something that has adapted to the surroundings of the cave. They've lost their vision. They lost their sensitivity. They've become creatures of the cave. They are negative. They hurt people because they have already been hurt. They have no faith. They've given up on God. Now, you ever seen Lord of the Rings? Anybody seen Lord of the Rings in here? We got a lot of Gollum sometimes in the church, don't we? And we're saying, my precious, right? And the sad thing about the Gollums in the church is that we have every reason to get out of the cave. But here we are huddled around our problem, holding on to our problems in a dark, nasty cave, becoming a big old bug-eyed creature. It's nasty and slimy. See, the reality is when we are in dark, dark places and we don't know how to praise God, we become these cave creatures. We hurt everybody. We're negative. We're ugly. We are pessimistic, sarcastic. And this is simply not the way we ought to be as Christians. We have the light of the world in our lives. Amen? We have Jesus in our hearts. We're not to be a cave creature. Yes, you'll find yourself as a cave dweller many, many times in your life. But it doesn't mean you have to be a cave creature. There's a big, big difference on that. We are to be creatures of the King, creations of the King of Jesus Christ. So what we need to do, we need to take a cue from David and learn how to get your praise on in dark places. Would you like to learn how to praise God this morning, even when everything is falling apart? Because it will do you so much good in your life if you learn how to praise God even when things are crumbling inside your cave. Three things real quick. How do we praise God when we're in dark places? First, I want you to see this. Know where to take refuge. Know where to go to in the cave. David says this in verse 1. He says, "Be gracious to me, God. Be gracious to me, for I take what? Refuge in you. I will seek refuge in the shadow of your wings until danger passes. I call to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purposes for me." Notice that the praise comes around verse 8. But before you get to verse 8 of the praise, he has listed his situation. He has talked about his problems in verses 1 through 7. He doesn't start praising until verse 8. And I'm kind of glad he lists his problems in 1 through 7. Because it really is the understanding of how to praise God in a cave when you see what David went through. See, he says, "Lord, I'm going to take refuge in you." Now, what is refuge? That is a place of safety. Refuge is a place that you can go to that is relief, that is safety, that lifts you up, protects you. And then he says, "I'm going to take comfort," or "I'm going to hide in the shadow of your wings." What does that mean, to hide in the shadow of God's wings? Well, it's an imagery that he's showing you. You ever seen a mama bird? Anybody ever seen a mama bird? She's sitting on those nests, and man, you just think, man, what in the world is she suffocating little baby birds? You know what? What is she doing? She's not suffocating the baby birds. What is she doing? She is protecting the baby birds. Baby birds are weak and helpless on their own. They have to be fed. They have to be taken care of. They have to be watched over. And that's exactly what mama bird does. Mama bird stretches her wings out, gathers them like a hen stretches her wings out for the chicks. They get the wings in. They gather, they gather the chicks in, the little birdies in, and they protect them. Likewise, this is exactly what God does. He opens up His arms and welcomes us to come under His arms, under His protection. Now, I love this. Because the Bible doesn't say that once you give your life to Christ, all your problems go away. Did you know that? It doesn't teach that if you sow some seed of money to some ministry, then you'll be cancer-free or you'll have this done or that done. That is a false gospel. That is a false doctrine. Health and wealth, prosperity. No, the Bible's clear that you'll have problems. But hear me. It tells us where to go when we have problems. That there is a God who welcomes us underneath His arms to protect us and help us though everything is falling apart around us. He doesn't promise to take it away, but He promises to be the wings over us. And I love what Jesus said. He said, "Everybody who's weary, who's hungry, who's thirsty, come unto me." Isn't that great today? That Jesus says, if you got problems, come on. Now, I don't know about you, but I got problems in my life. Do you have problems? Now, if you don't have problems, you might be dead today, okay? All right? So I want you to do me a favor. Look at your neighbor and repeat after me. You got problems. You really do. You got problems. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. You're going to have problems. You're going to have them. But you need to know where to take refuge when you have them. Y'all with me on that this morning, Life Community? You need to know where to go. Jesus welcomes us. And now, listen, praising the Lord in a cave, here's what's great. Are you ready? God is a God who welcomes us anytime to come to Him. And you know what? No matter what you're going through, He is still worthy to be praised today because His arms will wrap around you. So no matter what cave you're in, confusion, calamity, confinement, whatever you're in, there is still a God who will wrap His arms around you in your cave. How do you praise God in a cave? You go to God. You go to Jesus who opens His arms up. Second, you've got to wait for God's timing. You've got to wait for the Lord's timing in the cave. Now, I don't want you to lose this one. This one is the hardest point of these three to preach. So I don't want you to lose what I'm getting ready to teach you here. I want you to hear me. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. David writes, "They prepared a net for my steps. I was despondent," he says. So he talks about his enemies. And he says, my enemies are out there. They are outside of the cave and they're looking for me. King Saul is looking for me. Saul would like to run a spear through my chest and kill me. They're out there, David says. And they're looking for me. David does not pretend like God has taken them away. They're there. The trouble is there. He says, they're out there. They're out there. And he says, I was despondent. Now, what does that mean? Well, the NIV translates that as this: I was bowed down in distress. The New Living translates I was despondent as I was weary from distress. The New King James says, my soul is bowed down. I love how Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible, The Message, says it. And he says, I thought I was dead and done for. Man, listen to David's spirit. He says, here I am in this cave. They're out there trying to put traps up for me, to kill me. I'm weary. I'm anxious. My heart is racing. I'm just as good as dead. Have you ever felt like David in that situation? Oh, boy. Yes, we have. I'm done for. But then something happens. He's waiting in this cave. He's waiting for God's intervention. And look what he says. This is the coolest part. He says, they dug a pit ahead of me. They're trying to trap me. And I love what he says. But they fell into it. They fell into it. He says, they're out there digging a big old hole to get me down and to kill me. And when they weren't paying attention, they tripped over a rock and they went in the hole. And I'm good. I'm good. Now, we know that they weren't literally digging a hole for David, okay? You go back and you read 1 Samuel. What he's talking about in this moment is what happened with King Saul. Do y'all remember the story? He has many opportunities to kill Saul in his life. At least two main ones that we know of to kill King Saul. But he has a conviction in his heart that he's not supposed to touch the king. So he chooses to bypass killing Saul two times. Though Saul wants to just axe David to pieces. Wants to kill David. But through God's timing and God's providence. And what providence means is that God is in control, working it in His way, okay? In God's providence, King Saul goes into battle against the enemy, not David, but against an enemy. Somebody draws a bow back, shoots it in the air, lands in Saul's belly, kills him, partially kills him. He's left for dead, basically. And then he finishes the job himself, if you're reading the Bible. So here is David, who's trying to elude King Saul and get rid of King Saul. And what happens? God takes care of King Saul. God took care of King Saul. See, we as human beings, when we are in this cave and we're waiting for God to do something and we're waiting, we feel so distressed, bowed down, good as dead. We want to make it happen, don't we? I'm so guilty of trying to make it happen. Guys, we can't make nothing happen. Did you know that? We can't make nothing happened. Sadly, we turn to other things. For example, we turn to other people. We think other people are the answer. We turn to money. We think we can buy the answer. We turn to New Age stuff like astrologies and horoscopes, thinking that the stars will give us the answer. We turn to Google, thinking that we can pull up the answer. And here's what I've learned about Google. There is a reason somebody goes to medical school and studies and studies and studies, and you have to get an appointment with them to get their opinion. Because when you start Googling stuff, 9 out of 10 times, you're going to walk away from that computer thinking that you have leprosy. You know what I'm talking about? Stay away. Stay away from Google. It will just make you more despondent. Are you with me on that? But see, we don't want to wait for God's timing and His intervention. We don't want to do that. We want to turn to everything else, and that is the wrong thing to do. Because while you're waiting for God, you'll never learn to praise God in the times of waiting. Now, this has been a hard lesson for me to learn, but it's about 6 years in the process. God began to use the early days of Life Community to teach me what I'm about to share with you right here. Is that there is, as much as I hate to say what I'm getting ready to say, God intentionally and purposefully makes us wait for our own good. He really does. And you might say, well, Kenny, I don't know about that. I want instant gratification. Well, of course you do. You live in the cell phone age, or you can just pull it up immediately. Of course you want instant gratification. But God doesn't get, you don't get to tell God what to do. You don't get to tell God what to do. His process has always been to make us wait. That's the way He works. Look at Abraham. Oh boy, should have been checking into the senior citizen's home, but he's out making babies. Really? Read the story. And the guy has to wait and wait and wait and wait. God uses him. I love what it says in Isaiah 40:31. I used to not like this verse. Can I just be honest with you and tell you that I used to not like this Bible verse? Not very spiritual of me to tell you that, is it? But it's true. People will quote this verse to me. Oh, Kenny, you need to remember Isaiah 40:31. I just say, just be quiet, you know? I don't want to hear your Isaiah 40:31. I'll preach it, but don't let me hear it. But those who hope in the Lord or wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Isn't that good? Those that wait on the Lord, hope in the Lord will renew strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know what's really cool about God? In the waiting process, if you're waiting for something right now to come through, God's making you wait for a reason. And it's your best intentions. It's your best intentions. Because He knows what He's doing. And for that, though you don't want to, you should still praise God for that. Kenny, I should praise God while I'm waiting? Absolutely. Because really, sometimes the journey is more about the journey than the destination. And He's wanting to teach you and grow you and speak into you. In a time of waiting. Our church is in a time of waiting. Did you know that? Beautiful facility. You hear me say it all the time. We love OCTC. But this isn't going to be our home forever. And all you crazy people that's joined up for the journey, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. But here's the deal. We're in waiting. We're in transition. Are we looking for a place? Yeah, we are. Have we found it yet? No, we haven't. And we're waiting. I don't know how long God make us wait. What if it's His will? Now let me just spell this out here. For us to stay in this room for 10 years. Here's the deal. if we stayed in this room for 10 years, hear me on this, we're not going to stop praising them. If we were to stop praising God because we don't have a building with our name on it, what are we doing to begin with? We praise God every Sunday when we gather here, amen? And that's the way it's got to be. It's the same way in your life. Did you know that? While you're waiting, if you're waiting for the answer to come and you say, well, I'll praise God when the answer comes, you're a cave dweller today. You're a cave dweller. And you have to learn how to praise the Lord in the journey, not just the destination. That's some deeper faith issues. Amen, church. I told you this was the hardest part of this sermon to teach. But it's hard. We must praise God in the waiting. Third, place all, this is so important, don't miss this. Place all confidence, and say it with me, place all confidence in God. Every bit of what we bank on is not in people, it's not in methods, it's not in stuff, it's not in toys. It is only in the Lord that we're to trust. It's only in God. It's not in money. It's not in resources. It's not in stuff. It's only in the Lord. Look what David says. He says, my heart is confident. Isn't that great? Here he is in a cave, waiting for them to dig that hole and to fall into it. And he says, my heart is confident. My God, my heart is confident. And what will he do because he's confident? He gets his praise on, doesn't he? He busted out in the cave. I feel confident in God. And he's singing to God in a cave. It's the same thing for us, guys. We must place all confidence of everything into the Lord. We have to put our trust in God. And there's such a good thing about that. You know, the history of this church, God has provided everything at just the right time. Those at the beginning, have you seen that happen? We got to leave Seven Hills School, not an option. God opens up this place. We need a place to put metal folding chairs because the trailer is about to fall apart. How many of us, bless God, have bent fingers because of those trailers and those chairs? But God provided by giving us a closet. And here's the deal. We have seen him do this over and over and over and over and over and over again in just 2 years. 2 years. He is providing for us financially. We for the most part, meeting our weekly offering goals. For the most part, we need to be faithful in that and continue to work on that as a church. But for the most part, meeting our offering goals. I mean, God is providing for us. And this is good, church. Amen. And with that being said, I have the utmost confidence that the Lord is walking with Life Community Church. I believe that. And I know in my life, I know that I have the utmost confidence that when I was 7 years old and I asked Jesus into my heart, I have the utmost confidence that he came into my life. And no matter what cave I'm in today in my life, I believe with all my heart, confusion, confinement, calamity, my Jesus who came into my life when I was 7 years old is going to be with me in those hard times. I believe in that. Now see, old Floyd Collins, it was not a time of praise for old Floyd. Because Floyd wound up in a cave, got stuck in a cave, and died in a cave. Let's go back to Mammoth Cave real quick before we close. There's one part of Mammoth Cave that I really, really like. If you've ever been there, you know it's coming. You go through Fat Man Squeeze, you go around, you look at the underground rivers, you see all that. And they take you to this big room. Remember the big room? And everybody sits down on these wooden benches in the big room. And they tell you to be really still and quiet. Of course, Mammoth Cave has all these electrical lights run throughout the entire system that you can tour. And there in that one room, they say, "Everybody be still." And they crank the lights out. And you are in utter, complete darkness. It's really probably one of the few places that you can go to have utter, complete, real darkness. And the reality is, if that tour guide just snuck out a back door and left us there, we'd be in trouble, right? It's amazing how in that moment we are so vulnerable at Mammoth Cave. So dark. So gloomy. So confined. Just a darkness over everything. And you're waiting. And you're waiting. You can't breathe. You're anxious. When's it coming? And all of a sudden a candle lights up. And that tour guide has a candle in her hand. And that whole cave is lit with one candle. And that tour guide leads you out of the darkness and into light. When we find ourselves in caves, dark, gloomy caves, you need to understand that there's somebody who knows the caves very, very well. That tour guide knows the caves. They know where the light switches are. They know where the candles are. They've been there. They've done that. They've been in the cave and they've come out of the cave. Are you ready for something really cool? We too have a tour guide in our caves. And like David, he was pursued by his enemies. Like David, he was chased. Like David, he went to hurt and pain, but he went further. David was a man. This was the Son of Man. This was the Son of God. And this man laid his arms on the cross and suffered and bled for the sins of the world. And then his heart stopped beating. He died. And the Bible says they took his body and they wrapped it in cloth. And where did they lay it? In a tomb. It was cut out of the side of a rock. What is that? A cave. And they put that body in that cave. And they rolled a big old stone in front of it. Impossible darkness. He died for the sins of the world. There he was. Here we are in darkness, waiting for the answer. But on the third day, a Sunday, by the way, you ready? A light came on in the cave. And it was a whole lot brighter than a candle. You know why? Because it was the resurrected Son of God. And He is the light of the world. And for all of us that are in darkness, Jesus leads the way out of darkness, no matter where we are. He is the light of the world today. And today I make a decision. And my decision is this. I praise Jesus because He leads me out of darkness today. No matter where I've been, what I'm going through, there is a Jesus who's already been through it and has come out of it. And He's alive today. My recommendation to you is this. Y'all ready? Follow the tour guide. Follow the tour guide. Because if you don't follow the tour guide, you're going to get stuck in the cave. Follow the tour guide out of that mess. Follow Jesus out of that mess and be blessed. Follow Christ. But nobody makes you do that on your own. You must freely come to Jesus. Believing that you are a sinner and trusting in Christ. What do you need to bring for God? How do you need to look to Jesus today to get your praise on in a cave. I want to challenge you. Praise Jesus this morning. Make a decision to praise no matter what you're going through. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you very much for all that you do. And in this moment now, we ask you to speak into us and to guide us and to lead us. And Father, if there's somebody today that needs to make a decision for Christ, may they come. May you give them the boldness and the courage. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you do, Jesus. Lord, move in this place. Send your Spirit. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness. Amen. Would you stand to your feet as we begin to come? If God is speaking to your heart today, would you come and make a decision? Maybe you need to join the church, profess your faith in Jesus, come for baptism, be the first one today as God is leading.